Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. We're delighted to be with you this evening. We're grateful to God for a safe passage from Africa back to the United States. The people, the Christians, the brethren in our adopted country, they send their love and regards. This congregation has done a lot to advance the cause of Christ in Central Africa. And we are indeed grateful for everything that you do. Your support has been broadcast not by me, but by many Christians, even on the western side of Africa. They know the good things that the Hughes Road Church of Christ is doing in Africa. Regardless of where I speak, regardless of wherever I preach, when I close my lessons, I make it known that I am their missionary from the Hughes Road Church of Christ in Madison, Alabama. And that is a fact that I am quite proud of, because our Lord has blessed us in so many ways. But before I start my lesson this evening, I'd like to just say that I have seen some different things as I have returned back to the United States. And whether they're good or bad, I can't really say. When I observed certain things, I was explaining to Brother Chandler when he picked me up on Friday that normally when I rent a vehicle, normally I can get 7 days for about $250. Now, this time, those same 7 days was $490. And I just thought, man, that is awful steep. But then he said this has to do with inflation, so I don't know who the guy is who is responsible for this level of inflation. Maybe a girl. She may be responsible for it. Maybe a guy and a girl. But tell them this hurts. I'm just a lowly gospel preacher working in Africa now, but we're grateful to God for this another opportunity to be able to stand before you and to share a few words from the wisdom that God has granted unto us. This is something that I thought that I would never do at any point in my life. I've never enjoyed public speaking. It just so happened that I was encouraged by a South African preacher, Brother Williams, to come visit him. And shortly after I returned from visiting him in Africa, I met Yvonne Graham, who introduced me to a friend of hers, James Nyando, who was running for president of the country of Malawi. He was a Christian. He and I got to become very good friends. As most of you know, James passed from this world in July of 2015, excuse me. And I had a conversation with him about 2 days before his death, and he encouraged me to come to Africa to preach the gospel, because most people who visit Africa, they don't enter into the places where the people are. They go to the major cities, and there they live like they live pretty much in the West. I must admit that I live pretty well, even in Africa, because I don't require a whole lot of the comforts of life. But we have been blessed to enter into the villages. And even before I get started in the lesson this morning, this afternoon, I want to tell you that some of the things that have happened to me in Africa has not been because of my own doing. A lot of these things, I'm certain, is because of the prayers that many of you all sent upward on our behalf. This year, God being our helper, we should baptize somewhere around, it would be over 500 people this year. So we find it difficult to go to all of the places in Malawi that we want to go to. So what we've started doing is bringing preachers from the northern region, which is a place where we rarely visit, but we bring them so that they can be in our company and hear the gospel being preached. I'm often excited when these people come and they spend days sometime with us, just to hear the gospel from a different perspective than that which they have heard. But again, I am Hughes Road, a missionary from America to the country of Malawi. For those of you who are not familiar with Malawi, we are a landlocked country. We're landlocked between Zambia, Mozambique, and Tanzania. Some people say Tanzania. It's a country of about, we believe, about 30 million people. And we also think that Mozambique, which is a country that's 10 times larger than Malawi, that they have somewhere about 20 to 25 million people. So it's a very concentrated country as far as the population is concerned. But it's been an interesting place for me. And I have grown to love it. I remember telling the elders that I'm going to anticipate spending maybe 3 or 4 years here, and then we'll try to find out what would happen after that. Hopefully and prayerfully someone else would be willing to take the work over. God be our helper when we return. This will be our 7th year there. And I want to go forward another few years if our Lord continues to bless us with health and strength. This is the beginning of our return back to Malawi on this particular year. Most of the country does not understand what the Church of Christ is about. They don't understand what we teach. We go to the Bible, and we try to establish every perspective for the things that we do, both in our homes, in our personal lives, and among one another in the Lord's church. It is necessary that we live in such a way where the world can understand that there's something different about us. We have opportunities that have been given to us that most religious people would never be granted. We're able to go into denominational churches, and we're allowed to preach the gospel there. And there have been occasions where the entire congregation has been converted to Christ. And it's more than just taking a sign off the door, you know, from the Pentecostal church or from the Church of Central Africa Presbyterian and putting the name Church of Christ. The doctrine changed. Therefore, there has to be a change in the way people conduct themselves. So we find it's necessary to keep teaching, to keep explaining why the Lord's church is so unique. And it's unique in the sense that it has been established based on the principles of the Bible. Last Monday, October 31st, and I don't know why I like numbers and dates so much, but numbers can give you a perspective on certain things that people can never give you in just verbal communication. Last Monday was October 31st. That was the 522nd year of Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses on the doors of the Roman Catholic Church in Wittenberg, Germany. It happened October 31st, 1517. So here, you and I are living in an era, you know, that is just some 520 year somewhere down the road, I believe. But that event occurred, and most people don't know what happened. The reason Martin Luther wrote his 95 theses, and he actually wrote it in Latin, and he didn't write it in the language of the people, but he wrote that information so that the people could understand we need to have a dialogue. There are certain things that the church is doing that are not in keeping with the scriptures. And this thing started 500-plus years ago, on the 31st of October, 1517. So now, here we are, several hundred years later, and we began to look at the events that surround the doctrine that the world preach, and we wonder how many people understand that their religious institution that they are part of is less than 500 years old. And we can say that about every Protestant church. The term Protestant is not just a word. That means protest. Protest against what? Protest against the things that the Roman Catholic Church was teaching. And Martin Luther saying, let's go back to the Bible. So for those who visit us in Malawi, they understand that our intent is to always preach and teach the Lord's truth. We're always talking about the one church. There are a number of things, number of subjects that we can teach in the Bible. But even you see here, this is a group of women from the Lilongwe region, which is the capital city of the nation of Malawi, and it's primarily the government center. This, I believe, is about 600 or so women who have assembled here to hear some of our sisters from America teach on the role of a Christian woman. And I'm telling you, Lilongwe had problems with women disrespecting leadership, with women disrespecting their husbands. So events like this was created so that our women can come together and hear the word of God from a different perspective and understand what their behavior ought to be like. But it's not just women. This is the same approach we use as we go out, go throughout the central and southern region teaching Christ. I'm going to go through a few things to sort of give you an idea of how we advance. This, of course, is that same setting where we have some 600 women came together. And I think inside the building is probably about 350, and outside probably another 250 to 300. And this was, these things all happened because people began to get excited, not just about the Americans coming, but because now they have an opportunity to go into the scriptures and be taught why we believe what we believe and why we do what we do from a religious perspective. One of the young ladies here who came to visit us this summer, she is from the Valley Church of Christ in the Phoenix, Arizona area. When we got to this particular congregation, I think we were there maybe 3 days. And during that three-day setting, we were teaching different subjects. And I remember one being marriage, divorce, and remarriage. That became a popular subject that most of the African leaderships did not know how to deal with it. But this young lady, she had put together a series of lessons in Arizona, and here she is teaching, and I think this was about a three-hour setting. She's teaching several young people. This is her translator who is sitting right next to her. And it was such an important and impactful event. Miss Ella Clower from the Valley Church of Christ in Glendale, Arizona, which is the Phoenix area. This is the following Lord's Day. I think we started Friday, Saturday, and then on Sunday we had the culmination with a couple of lessons, and I did the final lesson. In this particular setting, there's about 700 or so people who are sitting out on this here. And we try not to just judge by the number of people, but the congregations that are being established, those congregations are growing. And when I say they're growing, they may start with 10 people, and it won't be long before there's 300 people, or 400, or 500. And we see there's a need sometime to, because people are traveling a certain distance, to sort of separate those congregations into this area and this area. And then they continue to grow. The churches in Mozambique, I am so impressed with them. As we get ready to close this lesson out, you see that it was necessary for us to build a baptistry so that these Christians could be baptized, could have a place to be baptized on a regular basis. For those of you who don't understand what happens in Africa, there is a lot of crocodiles. And when we normally go to the river to baptize people, that's normally 4 to 6 people in that process. the one who has been baptized, the one who is baptizing, and then about four other people who are fighting off the crocodiles. So that and this is a fact of life. So we find that it is necessary, you know, to have a nice place which is going to be always filled with water. Last week, 28 people were baptized there. Today, 9 people were baptized there. That place exists so that people don't have to have these mass baptisms like the denominational churches do. But on this setting, we have about 700 or so people as the gospel is being preached. Just some more sisters who are teaching and preaching the gospel, who are basically teaching and also preaching to their fellow counterparts, to their sisters. When these women can get together, they can go to the Bible, they can open up the scriptures, and they began pointing out error. They began enforcing truth. And then our sisters in Africa began to have a better understanding of what the Word of God is all about. I'm going to continue forward. This, again, is an area where there was a tremendous flood that came through. A lot of people lost their lives. The infrastructure in Malawi is not very good in a lot of places, and an entire church building was wiped out. And I want to say maybe a couple hundred Christians attended that particular service. But when that happened, they simply put up this makeshift tent structure. We came in and we began preaching. The men, of course, divided from the women. Women taught in one area, men taught in another. And we probably had about 300 to 400 people in that particular setting. People want to hear the gospel in Malawi, Africa. Again, this is me preaching, and I'll just come more forward. This is the church that was knocked down because of the floods. And sometime, if I'm not mistaken, the flood waters came up to about 6 feet, and they wiped a lot of people out. Some of the crops that had been planted, they had completely wiped all of that out. But here you have just the roof structure left, and all of the bricks and mortar and so forth has been just wrecked. Moving forward, the Malawi Working Fund has been such a tremendous asset, because here is the building with the same bricks and blocks and so forth being rebuilt. Concrete, cement, mortar, just looking at it from different perspective, and here it's going up. And last Lord's Day, they were in service. Now, there is a famine in the land now. And that famine has occurred because I think bad planning on the government's perspective. And, you know, you kind of hate when you can't take care of all of a country's needs. But my responsibility is to the Christians. Your responsibility is to the Christians who are in Malawi. And you have done a very good job in supporting their efforts. As far as I know, no one has gone without food in any of the regions where the gospel is preached. And even in the northern territory where we don't have time to go visit, when we find there's a need, we are sending food relief to them. Just to show you, this is on the Malawi side, and on the opposite side where you see the land, that is Mozambique. That's one of the areas where the Lord's churches have really been rapidly growing. What we're doing now, we're loading up corn, because that's their staple product. And then we're going to travel across this crocodile. I'm not traveling across the crocodile. Okay, but we have some brethren who will load up and paddle all the way to the other side. And then Christians on the other side will come, they'll unload, and they will take this corn, this maize, and distribute it to the needy saints on the Mozambican side. We also do the very same thing for the Malawi side as well. Now, these are considered canoes, but I think mostly what they are hollowed out logs. But these brethren are so accustomed to navigating this particular river. This is a Shiri river. And most of the times, nothing really happens. But there have been times where crocodiles have taken people underwater and they were never seen again. Paddling across with a canoe full of gifts from the saints of God here in America. This is a preacher who I've become very familiar with. He's actually an elder as well. He spent, I think he told me, 9 years in Arkansas teaching and so forth there. He's an engineer, and he basically is one who helps us coordinate where these needs are most pressing. We enjoy working with him. This is a distribution of food being made. Now, the country itself had a lot of infrastructure problems this year. A typhoon, a hurricane came, and it wiped out so much of the food. It wiped out a lot of the houses and building structures. Let me see if I can. Just to let you look at, you know, the water coming through, you know, here. Let's see if I can advance this to the next one. But this wasn't uncommon, though. This was not uncommon. I'm going to hurriedly move through forward. Let me see here.
Some roads remain cut off in Malawi.
This
Wednesday.
Is in English. I wanted you to listen to this.
Storm Anna. These men climbed on top of a stricken track to avoid being swept away by the raging waters. Mercy Jelosi is exhausted and traumatized. She was heading to Malawi's second biggest city of Blantyre for work when her vehicle was carried off a bridge by flood water on Tuesday night. I just started swimming, but I didn't know where I was heading. I tried to get hold of a tree along the way, but it felt as if I was being pulled down into the water. I had to swim with my face up for a long distance before I found a pile of washed away garbage. I held on to it and slept there till early morning. I could feel snakes were there too. In the morning, there was more water that pushed the debris I was holding on to down the river. As this was happening, I kept singing praises to God all the way. Blown from the Indian Ocean island of Madagascar across Mozambique, Tropical Storm Anna first landed in Zomba, Palombe, and Molange, bringing with it torrential rain and heavy winds.
I can clearly say that the situation as of now is not that good because my region is greatly affected. We are talking of Unsanje, we are talking of Chikwawa, Chirazulu, Palombe, Molange. All these areas have been affected. So the Tropical Anna has really created a very big challenge in my area. Yeah.
The storm also knocked out power in most parts of the southern African country.
Okay, I'm going to move forward. Just showing you how the infrastructure did not protect the people. Because everything is shoddy. The roads, the canals, and so forth. Like a hovercraft, huh? He's very fortunate he made it. Oh, these are the animals. I wish I could go, but let me go back and see if I can. Let's see here. Let's see here. So these are people who literally lost everything, okay? So we had provided seed, you know, with the help of this our congregation and a couple other places to replant. And the replanting has started. We are hoping to be able to harvest sometime around the third week of this month. But these are necessary entities that we must have in order to grow successful crops. Herbicides. These are bags of fertilizer. These are the seeds, and most of the seeds have been genetically modified. These seeds have been engineered to grow from planting to full maturity in about 120 days. This is just a distribution. This is the corn. This, I think, was taken August 20th. So this is how far along the corn was on August 20th. And it is about ready to be harvested now. And this is all things that you are doing to feed our brethren. Our people have to do certain things for themselves. We can't provide every single thing and do all of the heavy lifting. We are providing the fertilizer, the herbicides, the seed. So they go out there and they do the planting and the irrigation and so forth, and they are blessed in doing so. So hopefully and prayerfully we'll have enough food for that southern region, at least through, we're thinking maybe the first quarter of next year. Just going to keep showing you different areas. Okay, we happen to have some young people to come visit us. This is a young man by the name of Jake Collins, who I enjoyed very much. And here he is preaching his first gospel sermon in Malawi, Africa. I don't know how far this is from home, 10, 15,000 miles from home. But he did an excellent job for a person who was just enthusiastic about coming to Africa and preaching the gospel. We had little Abby Dempsey. And, you know, I can't say enough things about her, how awesome and productive she was in teaching the women and the young people in the places in which she went. Of course, Pamela Chandler was her coordinator, I guess, in a sense. And you expect Sister Pamela to do a good job because she's a seasoned professional, okay? But a young lady like Abby, I was telling Abby, I remember, baby, the day you were born. I remember. And here she is now. She's headed off to college and introduced me this morning to her boyfriend. I said, you go, girl. Good for her. Okay. But the little Jake Collins, he did an excellent job. And I appreciate Brother Chandler so much working with him. This is Brother Chandler and his interpreter, Shadrick Nyando, who also interprets for me quite often. I don't know how many people at this congregation, but, you know, we're thinking maybe 300 or 400 people. And the reason we have 300 or 400 people, because we couldn't invite all of the Christians who wanted to come. We will normally take about 2 to 3 people from the various congregation, and we get them together, and then we began teaching on particular subjects. But as you can see, this is a pretty full house who are here to hear the gospel and hear Brother Chandler deliver the word. This is little Abby. You see, I don't have a pointer, but you can probably see the little blonde-headed girl with the purple backpack, okay? And she did an excellent job again. All right, I show you this guy because I think that I've got this right. I think he's 93 years old. He has established about 80 congregations in Malawi, and he's just not able to do what he used to do. But this guy still can ride a motorbike. We buy his general medication that he needs every single month because we appreciate what he has done in advancing the gospel of Christ in a nation when missionaries were not coming there. 93 years old. Now, these are Bibles that are being presented. A Bible, brothers and sisters, you realize how important it is. But a Bible is more than just the Word of God for the African. This is something that is valuable almost to the point of goal. It's something that they will fight to get their hands on. The Valley Church in Phoenix, Arizona area, they provided us with, I think, close to 2,000 Bibles. And there's some paperwork in this gentleman's hand, and I'll see if I can go to the next slide. There's also paperwork in these ladies' hands with that Bible. A Bible is a useful tool when you know how to use it. These documents that our sisters have here within their Bibles, they're telling them where certain scriptures are. If you want to talk about rearing positive and productive children, read these scriptures. If you want to talk about the kind of woman a Christian wife should be, then read these scriptures. If you want to talk about the kind of husband a Christian man should be, then read these scriptures. There's just a number of scriptures that these women can go to. And now the Bible is now a useful tool in their lives. And that's a really good thing. I'll keep running down here. We give Bibles along with those handouts, okay? This is a different location. We're just having a study session with the brethren. Someone has been teaching something that has been in error, so we make an attempt to bring as many of the leaders from these congregations, and we sit down and we give them book, chapter, and verse for why we teach what we teach. They take this information, and they take it back to their respective congregations, and I think on this particular session, we're teaching on the role of elders and what an elder should be doing in the Lord's church. And these have become some very productive sessions for us. I'm just going to hurry through this. This is the young man between Pam and Greg. His name is Precious. And Precious was one of the drivers that we use. He drove us from point A to point B. Now, I want to tell you something that we've learned from Brother Greg and a few others, that when you have somebody like this and they're driving you, you know, it may be sometime for several hours, because we'll travel several hours to teach lessons. This young man, he heard the gospel, and he was under, I can't say he was under duress, that's not the word I want to use, but he was in an environment where he realized that the church that he was in was not teaching what the Bible said. So he studied a little bit with Lazarus and with Greg, and lo and behold, he obeyed the gospel on one of these trips that we were on during the time Pamela and Greg visit us. Another setting, it's a weekend gospel meeting, and we use these weekends to get as many people from these various congregations. We're in a school setting, and we pick certain subjects that need to be discussed, and we teach on those particular subjects. Jetta Hurley, these are some of the church elders. Again, we're talking, they're in a different region, but we're talking to them about the role that the elders should play in the kingdom of God. This is a new congregation that's being established outside of the capital city of Lilongwe. And if I'm not mistaken, it started with four people, and there's 20-something people there when we left, and I think that it's about 50 or so precious souls who are part of that congregation now. One of our brethren who came in from Glendale, Arizona, from the Phoenix area, and he has, I think he's been with us for about 3 years or so now, spending a couple of or 3 weeks with us doing each trip, he and his wife. Now, this is another setting. The schools give us permission, and usually this is during recess times, to drive up and to have a Bible study on a particular subject. Wendell is teaching how the Bible came about to this group of young people. And this is something the government permits us to do in our travels. Now, We are permitted to do certain things that most missionaries don't have an opportunity to do. The government blesses us in the sense that we can do this. They don't permit many people to do what they permit us to do. And we think that in the eyes of the government, because of who our late brother was, that we are blessed to be able to enter into places like this, which seem to be no man land for most religious teachers. This is the corn or the maize. I want to say this was in April. This was in the early portion of April. We needed to distribute, buy food and distribute it to some of our brethren because there was a certain level of hunger. And later, this is that same warehouse. And this is all of the grain, all of the corn that's left in that warehouse. That's our brother Shadrick who's sitting on a pallet. Can you imagine how much food has been distributed out of this is a huge warehouse. And then these are the only pallets of corn that is left. Now, this is the baptistry that I was telling you about. Because of the Shira River being so heavily filled with crocodiles, that there's about six congregations, and I think the largest congregation now is about 400 people. But these congregations keep growing. Those six congregations can come to this place, and that they can have a person baptized, any time, day or night. This was just completed about two and a half weeks ago. And the Lord's kingdom is being advanced because of this. These, again, are some of our visitors who come, who have come from the United States. Let's see, Wendell, his wife, and we have little Jesse and her daughter. The guy who's on the end here with the crutch, that's Brother Lazarus. That's the one who had an operation on his leg after an accident at the government hospital. You know, for the life of me, I can't understand why people want government sponsored health care. Okay? This is a wonderful man. He has been such a big help to me in advancing the gospel in primarily Mozambique and in Malawi. But when they repaired his leg, they put some kind of steel beam in there. They put it in, listen to it, upside down and backward. So his leg was about 2 inches shorter, and he was in constant pain. So through the goodness of God, Lazarus receives the blessing of having leg surgery at a hospital called Bed Cure, which is operated by Western doctors. When I say Western, this is people from Europe and also from the United States. And he is still under doctor's care, and hopefully and prayerfully, within the next 2 months, he should be able to walk properly using one crutch. And then after that, they said within 6 months, he should not need, you know, anything. But the important thing of why we show these things is that you can understand that the work we do is unlike the work that most missionaries do. And I'm blessed to have elders here who understand that to come and visit every now and then, it will give you an opportunity to see how the Lord's kingdom is advancing in this place. There are certain things that we have learned in preaching the gospel in a foreign country like Malawi. And one of those things is that the lesson that Westerners bring about the mentality that the African have sometimes is just plain wrong. And when I say it's plain wrong, not that the gospel message is wrong, but the African, his brain does not work like the Western brain works. So you have to line things up so that when you teach, that their African brain can pick it, because the brain don't work the same as the Western mind. And that's one thing that I wish more of our Christian brethren would understand. Yeah, everybody has functioning brains, true enough, but the African brain does not function the same way that the Western brain functions. And I think the lessons that Greg brings, those lessons have proven to advance the mentality of those people who are listening. And the gospel is advanced because of that. So I also invite my brothers and sisters and friends who would like to visit Africa to come and see, to see if we're doing what we say that we're doing. Now, what we can also tell you, you don't have to give us notice because we're working usually 6 to 7 days a week, and we have scheduled things pretty much about 2 to 3 months out. So you're welcome to come anytime that fit your schedule. Just tell us. We'll be at the airport on Tuesday, November the 23rd. And we'll have somebody there, since I'm over here, they'll be ready to pick you up and take you to the vineyard of the kingdom of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Can you imagine what it is like to go to a place where you have every opportunity to do everything that the Bible has given us in the first century? To me, it is almost like being back in the first century, being able to follow the same principles that the apostles taught. And to hear somebody stand up and say, I don't believe that the Church of Christ is the only church. You say, okay, well, let me give you some Bible. And then we enter into the scriptures. Now, you show me where your church can be found in the Bible. We say, I'm a Presbyterian. Well, Presbyterian means elder. So you're telling me that everybody in your church is elders. Here you got a church of 500 people. You got 500 elders, because that's what presbytery means, elder. And then they start realizing, well, we don't know half of what we think we know. So they give us an opportunity to sometime in a small group to come and teach. Sometime they give us an opportunity to teach in front of a whole group. One preacher got in trouble for it because many of his congregational members obeyed the gospel, and his presbytery wasn't happy with that process. But brothers and sisters, we're there for one reason, to preach and teach the gospel. God has blessed us to be able to see things and to do things that will advance his cause, that will never violate the scriptures. But what we want most of all is your continued prayers. And we want you to come visit if you are predisposed to do so. We think that you'll find in Malawi Christians who are open for the advancement of the cause of Christ. You'll find denominational people who are willing to sit and listen and to ask questions. And for me, this has been just a wonderful way to spend what I'm hoping will be spending the remainder portion of my life trying to advance the cause of Christ. Yes, we have gone into the world, and we have gone with intent to preach the gospel of Christ, the very same thing that was done in the first century. You look at Mark chapter 16, and the Bible gives us that information. So we have to separate what was true in the first century from what is not true in the 21st century. We go into the world, we preach the gospel. These signs don't follow us. We don't drink deadly poison. We don't handle poisonous snakes to show our belief in God. That was then. But now, we preach the gospel. And in preaching the gospel, we are not looking for signs. We preach based on the context of the scriptures. And in doing so, those people believe, and we are not looking for signs. There was a young lady who was explaining to one of our preachers that she has looked for a husband, and she has been praying about that. And she dated a guy, and the guy was abusive to her. And she said that she thought that he was the man that God was sending her. And she was looking for a sign. Well, the sign that she should have been looking for is those nights that he didn't come home. Those nights that he spent at the bars. Those nights that he spent at the pub. To me, those would have been signs that would have told her, this guy is not a candidate, you know, for marriage. We're looking for signs. We're not looking for signs anymore. We're looking to advance the cause of Christ. And when someone disobeys what the scriptures are saying, they're not just disagreeing with me. That I'm the least of their problems. They're disagreeing with the principles that have already been set by Christ. So I think the reason that the Lord's church has been advancing is because there are people over there with soft hearts, people who are willing to hear you tell them that there is only one Lord. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. And if you want to be a part of the kingdom that God has established, you have to go back to the Bible. I remember this must have been, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, but Dr. Carl Whitted took me and several other people to Nashville, and we went through the Reformation movement a little bit, and then we talked about the Restoration movement. And that was an important aspect in the modern centuries, telling people to go back to the Bible, because this is where salvation can be found. Eventually, we'll all get to Matthew chapter 7, who are looking at advancing the cause of Christ. And in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 21 through verse number 23, there Jesus says that there are those who are going to be talking to him and who will say, Lord, Lord, but in your name we did many wonderful works. In your name we cast out death. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. And the reason he did know them is because they may have been worshiping in their mind, but it was not according to the will that the Lord has established in the scriptures. So we're concerned in Africa, as we are in America, about doing the will of God. If we have anyone among us this afternoon, who is not a member of the Lord's church, this is the one that can be found in the Bible. We ask you to study with us to see what thus saith the Lord. There is an important thing about dates. There's an event that occurred in Acts chapter 2. This is the establishment of the church. And that's when the Jews went in and they accepted the Lord and they became Christians. In Acts chapter 10, the establishment of the church continued, but now it was among the Gentiles. And the Gentiles got to hear Peter preach his second gospel sermon. And when Peter preached his second gospel sermon, the Gentiles, which are what you and I are part of, they accepted the Lord's truth, and they were added. See, nobody joins the Lord's church. You join organizations and so forth. When you obey the gospel, it is the Lord himself who adds you to his church. What church were they added to in the first century? There was only one church, and that was the Lord's church. So you see in Africa that we're always talking about the one church. There's nothing else to talk about. You know, we can talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but not now. Africa isn't ready for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You can talk about all kinds of things, but what we talk about are those things that pertain to salvation. And we appreciate you coming to visit us and to see and to just spend some time in an environment that is safe, an environment that we provide all of the needs, the physical needs that you will have. And we think that once you come and spend time in that environment, like me, my life had been changed forever. I am not the same person I was in 2015. This is before I went and started doing this work full time. But I thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to share God's word with you. Eventually, we all come to the end. And we're prayerful that the end will find us in keeping with the will of God. I would hate to run this race and to run this race in vain. And you get to the end and the Lord say, I don't know you. That has got to be one of the most discouraging things. Because if the Lord doesn't know you, it means that there's no salvation that has been established for you. My hope is that we'll all run this race until the Lord calls us home. But we run the right way, and we run it according to the right principles, according to the right teachings, and live the best possible life so that the blood of Christ will do those things for us which we have been unable to do for ourselves. But we thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to share a portion of God's word with you as we try to explain to you some of the things that we do to advance the cause of Christ, which you support in a foreign country and that we're happy to participate in. Normally we ask questions, but that's normally after a two-hour lesson, and questions are usually about an hour and a half long. But I'll spare you of that. But if you want us to come back, we'd be more than happy to answer any questions about the work and so forth that we're doing. Okay? Thank you all so much for your attention. Oh, and pray for us as we prepare to go into surgery on the 16th of next month for our 16th of this month for our knee. Okay? Thank you.